All right, guys. So first of all, welcome everyone live. This is really, really exciting, really cool. I love how the community is getting together and jumping on these calls and taking some time to learn something valuable. And we've got Ben here. Anyone who's been in business for a while knows how important it is to tell a story, right? I've learned copious amounts of times in NLP or coaching training. Anytime you're studying something to do with the brain, they always say, whenever you're wanting to interpret something, whenever you're wanting to pass on a message, whenever you're wanting to deliver something of value, make sure it's in a metaphor or a story. And so it just picks up in the brain, right? It's how we interpret information. We've been doing it for millennia. It is passed on in terms of stories, in terms of metaphors, in terms of analogies, all these ways in which take information and allow us to process it. And so, for example, on the group coaching calls, I can teach about how emotions are coming up and what they mean and all those different things, or I can give the analogy of the five-year-olds, right? A lot of you are doing the internal work, know that, and if any time an emotion's coming up, it's sort of like your internal five-year-old that wants to be seen, heard, and understood. As soon as I say that, everyone's like, oh, awesome, right? I get it. And Ben here is the expert in helping you do that for your business, right? Do that for your personal brand and allow your audience to understand what it is you do, how it is you do it, what you're all about, and do it through telling a story, do it through your marketing, your branding. And so getting tips and tricks on how to do that most effectively is going to be, it's going to mean a world of, a world of benefit for your audience and also the value you give people. So Ben, thanks so much. This is incredible. It's awesome that you're here and you're able to pass on this value. I'd love to give you a few minutes or however long you want to explain a bit about yourself and what you do and how you do it and where all this wisdom's come from.
Well, this wisdom comes from about 25 years. First of all, welcome everybody. I'm calling in from Vancouver, Canada. So it's, what is it? It is Monday afternoon. It's about 3:00 in the afternoon, my time. I don't know where everybody is, but I saw one shout out, at least from Canada. But definitely, there's another person from Vancouver. There we go. We got Vancouverites. We got people from Oz. We got people hopefully from all over. So I love this.
Eric's Canadian as well.
Oh, Eric's Canadian as well. Well, we got Jasper. We got people from all over. California. Perfect. We got Japan. I feel honored. We got people from all over the place. This is awesome. But New Jersey, love it. We need to be able to tell a story. I mean, I've been telling stories for as long as I could live. I mean, I remember my father telling me, he says, stop telling stories, when I was a little kid. Because you're always trying to get your point across and you're always trying to sit there and say, okay, how do you get people to understand what you're thinking, what you believe, what's important to you? And telling a story is a great way because it resonates with other people. When you tell people, a mission or a vision statement, they're just words. They're words on a page that are written up there. Somebody might have put them up on a billboard somewhere, but until you can internalize them, until you can understand, until they resonate with you, until you can sit there and say, ah, I get that. I can retell this. And I may not tell it exactly the same way as the person who told the story, but it's something that you listened to, you understood, you valued, and now you can retell. And that's the great thing about a brand story. That's the great thing about any story is that it's retellable. And whether it's retellable by people inside the company, whether it's retellable by vendors, whether it's retellable by customers, it doesn't matter. Because when people tell your story for you, they're doing your marketing for you. They're the ones who are out there sitting there going, you know what? You got to deal with this company. This is where they came from. This is what they do. This is what they, how they help me. This is the type of things that make them special. And this is where they're going. You got to get in touch with them. And that's just so powerful. When somebody else can sit there and say, do business with this person because I know, like, and trust them. That's powerful. You can toot your own horn. You can tell your own story all you want. But until other people are telling your story for you, you haven't really succeeded. And that's where the real power is. When other people turn around and sit there and say, you know what? I like these people. I know these people. I trust these people. I give them my business because they do this for me. They've done this for me. You know, they got me out of this jam. They helped me out here. They made me look good in front of my boss. Whatever it is, all of a sudden you have an emotional attachment to them. And when you have an emotional attachment to somebody, price goes out the window. If you're 5% higher and you're the one that got them out of the jam, that 5% goes away. Nobody cares. You know, but if you're, you know, 20% higher and nobody knows you and nobody knows what you do or why you do it, or who you are, what, you know, what your value is, people are sitting there going, why am I spending the extra money? Why do I care about these people? Who are they and what do they mean to me? And that's what a great brand story does. So I brought along some slides. You know, I'll bring the slides up. You know, Tyson, if you get questions, just ask them as we're going along. There is no format to this. The format is I want people to learn. And, you know, if there's something you sit there and go, huh, that doesn't make sense to me, you know, just give me a shout out and we'll move forward from there.
Yeah, he'll so, wrap it up in a story, hey?
Exactly. We'll wrap it up in a story. And that's the important thing. So, Tyson, you can see my screen. You can see the PowerPoint. Perfect. Good. Life Good. Is a beautiful thing. So the first thing that people need to realize is what is a brand? You know, it's not your logo. It's not your color scheme. It's not, you know, it's not even what you think of yourself. It's how other people perceive you. That's the key thing. How do people perceive you? What do people say about you when you're not in the room? Because if you think of yourself in one way and your customers think about you a different way, you're wrong. You know, because they're the ones that are buying. They're the ones that are connecting with you. They're the ones that, you know, are wanting to be, you know, aligned with you. And if they don't know, like, and trust you, if they don't see the value that you provide, if they don't think that you're going to take care of them, you don't have a strong brand. Even if you think you are the cat's pajamas, you're not. You know, it's really that simple. You can influence your brand. You can tell your story. You can, you know, you can do what you need to do to be consistent to people and make sure that they know, like, and trust you. But if they don't perceive you as valuable to them, you're not. You're not going to be able to be valuable to everybody. There's 7.5 billion people in the world. Even Coca-Cola doesn't have 100% market share. Even Coca-Cola doesn't have every single person drinking a Coke. So why do you even perceive that you can? You need to understand who are you valuable to, and you need to be able to tell a story that resonates with them. So the first question I ask people when we're creating a brand story is, what are you passionate about? As a brand, whether it's your personal brand or your corporate brand, what are you passionate about? You know, what was the impetus that made you do what you do? What was the genesis that sat there and said, ah, I have to start this company. I have to do this because of X. You know, I saw a problem. I was frustrated by this. You know, I knew that there was a better way to do something else. What are you passionate about? What do you truly love to get up in the morning and do? Because if you aren't passionate about what you do, and if you can't articulate that passion, people will see it. You know, people want to know that the people they're working with love what they do, and they're excited about what they do, and that they're constantly learning at what they do, and they're constantly trying to get better at what they do. And the people who do that are the people that are passionate. So we sit there, and the first thing we need to ask ourselves whenever we're creating a brand story is, you know, as an individual, as a business, what are you passionate about? Because if you can't tell people what you're passionate about, and if you don't show that passion on a daily basis, your employees are not going to buy into it, your vendors are not going to buy into it, your customers are not going to buy into it. And all of a sudden, all you are is another commodity. So be passionate. You know, say, if I opened up this restaurant, why did I open up this restaurant? What was the thing that was driving me to do it? I love doing this. And it's not just I love cooking. I love serving people because dive deep. Ask yourself, why are you passionate about what you're passionate about? Because the more you can dive deep and you can understand what is the underlying why behind what you do, the better you're going to be at it.
Maybe you guys can share in the chat as well if there's something you're deeply passionate about and why you do what you do.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Because that would be awesome for you guys to also engage with each other so that if something resonates with you, then you can also reach out to that person, start connecting, start sharing your story, start really understanding how you may be able to collaborate and contribute to each other in some way, especially when you're doing that. Because one of the biggest things I've done on Facebook that's really grown my community is a couple of years ago, I shared a vulnerable story about myself and why I started coaching. And I just got really, it was a Facebook Live that my business coach at the time encouraged me to do. And I just shared how every time I was watching a coaching, some things in my coaching program, I was watching Tony Robbins, and I was watching him create huge transformations in people. I was like bawling my eyes out, right? Someone having these huge breakthroughs and insights and seeing that there's something deeper than what's being presented on the surface just hit me so emotionally. And I shared a story of me investing half of everything I had in the bank when I was living in Canada, and jumped into my first coaching program. And you know, people love that openness, that vulnerability in that story. And that got, you know, that got 1.5 to 2,000 views when previously my videos were getting like 200 views, right? And it's just because it was such a powerful story where I was just open and vulnerable and I was like shaking while I was saying it. And yeah, it was really, really cool. But that explains a little bit about my passion, where that was coming from and everything like that. And that allowed people to really resonate. So this is really what a powerful brand story can do. And it's just telling your truth. It's just saying why you're passionate, why you're doing what you're doing. Yeah. So DJ's saying, yes, he's saying, seeing the lights come on in people who get what it means to optimize and simplify business processes. Awesome. That's what DJ's all about. And he loves that. Loves making that happen. So Eric, I treat men with prostate cancer.
Awesome.
Powerful message. This is the golf guy. He's a really, really cool dude. Anyone who wants some energy in a conversation and some energy in their life, you have to talk to Eric. He's awesome. My passion stems from the issue I watched my dad suffer from around men's health. I'm passionate about helping and empowering men to take back control of their health and move on with their lives. How empowering is that, hey? That's really, really cool. There's a lot of people in the group who have a strong desire to help people around health and a strong message that they want to share with the world around well-being and health as well. So that's really cool.
And that's so important. I mean, when your why comes down to something that happened to you personally, whether you know you have cancer, you help people with cancer, you've seen somebody have mental health issues or whatever, and being able to, you know, your why is the fact that you want to help others based on what you've seen, it becomes extremely powerful and it drives you. I mean, I'm driven by, you know, getting better leaders. It's about how do you provide training and teaching on how to build better leaders, because I truly believe that if we have leaders who inspire, you know, businesses will be better and they will stop being commodities and people will stop, you know, bouncing from company to company, and engagement levels will go up higher because we need to teach people how to lead. You know, it's amazing what happens when we know our why.
Cool. So if you want to continue, some people can read Christy as well, her message there. All around tech, helping people with tech, and she really has a passion around helping people with stress and anxiety and those sort of things. That's awesome. So if you guys want to continue to share your what you're passionate about, everyone in the group will be able to read it as well, and you can start sharing that. But Ben, love for you to continue and see where this goes.
Yeah, the next thing is, what do you believe in? You know, what are the things that you believe in? What are your core beliefs? You know, what are the things that are your values? Because we each have things that we are going to fight for and things that we're going to fight against, things that we absolutely believe in. And this is the core essence. And we'll stand up for this and we'll fight against that. And I think that we all need to know that, both personally and as companies. I mean, I tell a great story. A couple of years ago, I was having a conversation with a client, and we were having a discussion, and all of a sudden I realized we didn't trust each other anymore, and the trust was completely gone. You know, we had come to a point where we had come to a disagreement, and there was no longer trust that worked on either side. And I said, look, that's it. The conversation is over. The relationship is over. I need to go find you someone else that is going to be able to serve you, is going to be able to take care of you, because our relationship is over. And, you know, it was an unfortunate thing. It was a miscommunication, and I just couldn't help this guy anymore. But it was understanding that as soon as he started saying that he didn't trust me, and that, you know, the relationship had to end. Because if the relationship isn't built on trust, there is no relationship. I knew from that point forward, all I was going to be is another commodity vendor that was going to be one of three prices, and that was it. And I never want to do business that way. I never want to be the cheapest. I never want to be one of three quotes. I want to work with people that trust me and I trust them. And, you know, relationships come and relationships go. And, you know, I've got relationships that go back 20 and 25 years. I've got vendors I've worked with for 20 plus years. I got clients I've worked with for 20 plus years. And it's based on the fact that we believe in the same things. We understand each other. We trust each other. And when something goes right or something goes wrong, we work with each other to fix it. But you need to understand is, what are those lines in the sand? You know, what are the things that you sit there and say, you know what? It's time to move on. The relationship is over. I'm not willing to put up with this anymore. And, you know, it's not a he said, she said. It's not finger pointing. It's just, you know what? This doesn't work for us anymore. We need to find a way around this. And it's a last resort, and you never want to have to get there. But you need to understand, where is that point of no return? You know, what are the things that you believe in? What are the things that are important to you? What are the things that are vital for your business success? For me, it's people. God help you if you ever sit there and you yell at one of my employees, you know, about something that you should be talking to me about. You know, my attitude is, if you've got a major problem, you come to me and I'll deal with it. And if I have a problem, I'll talk to my employee. But it's not your job to belittle my employee, you know. And I've gone to bat for my employees because I've sat there and said, you have no right to have that conversation. You know, you need to understand, who are the people that are important to you? What are the things that are important to you? And how do you move, you know, through that and be able to live up with that? Because that's what your company is all about. Your company is about the things that you believe in, the things that you're for, and the things that you're against. And you need to be able to know that there's a line in the sand, and that's it. And that's okay. And if a business relationship ends because of it, there's probably a bigger reason why it's happening.
Is this what you're saying, that you can weave into your story in terms of what you're passionate about, what you believe in, everything about your company?
Absolutely.
Weave into your story.
Absolutely. And it's showing examples of, these are the things I believe in. And you may not use the negative things, the things you believe in, but when you're building your brand story that you're going to tell to your customers, these are the things that we work for as a company. We don't just say that our employees are number one. This is why we think our employees are number one. These are the things that we do for our employees each and every day to make sure that they feel listened to, understood, and valued. Okay. You know, and it's being able to sit there and say, here's some concrete examples of how we treat customers. This is concrete examples of how we treat our employees. These are concrete examples of how we treat vendors, because this is what we believe in.
Mm. And even people who are, I know a lot of people who are on this call and a lot of people who are watching the recording, not necessarily having employees, but in terms of the way you've built your business and why you're building your business and what you believe in, can really impact the way you develop a story. And you can give stories and examples instead of how you treat an employee, how you treat yourself, or how you treat clients.
Absolutely.
Or how you treat other people, right? How you treat strangers or people who follow you on your path, things like that. And a lot of people share that, like you said, in terms of an effective story. And I'm sure we'll get into more details on how to construct that story. But like you said, a story is effective if it's passed on. And
right.
For you to develop a story, even if you're in business by yourself and you're building something, you can develop a story around your passion, around what you believe in, around what's, you know, why you're in business. And that why is going to be important for people to pass on, especially if it's coming from your truth and coming from your heart as well.
Exactly. Now, the next part of this story is understanding your value to others. You know, all of this is about building your story. You know, every single piece that I'm going to go to is about building your story. The technical story itself is all about where did you come from? Where are you? What is important to you? Who do you add value to? How do you add value to them? And where are you going? That's your story. Your story in a nutshell is this simple. Where did I come from as a company? What was the genesis of our corporation? You know, why did we do what we do? Then we get down to where we are. And that's about what do we do? Who do we do it for? Why do we do it for them? How do we add value to these people? And most importantly, where are you going as a company? And it's not just talking about the good things, bringing something into the story of sitting there and say, and here's where we had a challenge and this is how we overcame it is important. You know, and all the things I'm going to talk about today go into that, because if it's just a story of, and I started this company and I made $100 million and I sold it, nobody cares. People want to know about the journey. They want to know about what were the trials and the tribulations and the things that went along with it, and what did you learn from them? And how did those things make you better? Because if you can tell a story that tells people, you know what, I've been in your shoes. I've been down that hole. I, you know, sat in the muck for months on end trying to figure out how to fix this. I figured out how to fix this, and now I can help you fix this. That resonates with a customer more than the fact that, oh, I know how to fix that. You know, it's being able to build that trust level. And that story is built more on the fact of how you've overcome failures than your successes, because we all learn from our failures. We all learn from our challenges. And the more that we can build that into our stories of, you know, what are we passionate about? You know, how do you build trust? How do you understand your value to others? We can build all those thought processes into where were you, where are you, where are you going? And if we do all that, you're going to build a powerful story. Now, the big thing is this understanding, you know, how are you valuable to others? Because if you don't understand that, you don't have a story to tell. You know, it's understanding who are the people that are your true customers. It's not everybody with a pulse. It's not everybody with a Visa card or a MasterCard or an Amex. It's the people that actually see value in what you do. The people that you can actually help, and the people who can actually afford what you have to sell. Because there's lots of people out there that says, oh, that's a great solution, but I can't afford that. You know, there's millions of people out there that think what I do is really something great, but when it comes down to it, they don't have budget for it, or it's the wrong time for them, or, you know, they have to check with their boss and their boss doesn't like it, or whatever. You know, it's understanding who are you valuable to and why. You know, are these people ready to buy? And if they're not, when will they be ready to buy? And be able to, you know, clarify that with people. And through your story, you can do that. But it's a matter of understanding that this is the type of person that I can help. You know, I help vice presidents of human resources make sure that they don't have high turnover and that they can engage, retain, and grow their employees. That's what I do. And it's being able to be that crystal clear to understand, you know, these are the people I can help. These are the people I don't help, and being okay with that. You know, because if we try to go after everybody, if everybody's our customer, if we try to sell to everybody, we have no unique selling proposition. We have nothing that differentiates ourselves. We have nothing that makes us interesting and unique because we're just like everybody else. If we have a narrow focus, if we sit there and say, I only deal with commercial construction companies that are over $10 million, that's a niche. These are the people I can help. But if I say, I do work with the construction industry, well, what does that really mean? It's a matter of being able to understand your value to others. How am I valuable to these people? Who are they? And how am I actually valuable to them?
And I guess that will allow you to talk to them, right? So if you help someone in particular and you have that narrowed down niche, you can talk to them and share your story in a way that resonates with them, right? Because if you can tell
your story in their language.
Yeah. If you're talking where you come from, where you are now and where you're going, and they resonate on that path, they resonate with that journey, then they can, yeah, they can build, you can build that like, know, and trust factor. And it's something that can actually sink in rather than just some words that describe what it is you do. You can pass on the value that way. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Because your story only resonates with people that you can add value to. Yeah, your story is going to resonate with people that sit there and say, oh, okay, now I'm listening. If people aren't listening, if somebody doesn't need the widget that you sell, if somebody is not in the market for a hammer, they're not going to listen to your story.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't need a lawyer who deals with a very specific, you know, type of law, they're not going to listen to your story. But if you tell that story to the right people in the right way, on the right medium, so they understand it and they're receptive to it, their ears are going to perk up.
Yeah, totally. So it's sort of an example like what Eric was saying before, in terms of he helps men with prostate cancer, and he does it through telehealth. And so he's a physio, and he helps this specific niche, and he can do it worldwide, and he can sort of say, okay, I help people with this because of my father went through this, and because, you know, it resonates with me because of X, Y, and Z, and this is what I've gone through, this is where I'm now, this is where I'm going. He can speak to the specific person. He's not saying I help everyone with all health issues, right? It's very specific, and his story will resonate with the people he can add value to. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. And the people with prostate cancer sit there and go, oh, Eric understands us. This is what he does. This is what he specializes in. This is what he's dedicated himself to understanding and being good at. Oh, okay. Maybe it's worth having a conversation with Eric. Where having a conversation with a general physio who said, oh yeah, I can work with you on your cancer. You're not going to have that same no like trust.
Powerful. What else we got? What else do we have to add to our
story? Well, it comes down to, again, who is your audience?
Yeah.
And this all comes back to it is an understanding who your audience is. Who are the people that are important to you? And if you can understand who you are important to, then you can tell a story that's going to resonate with them. And also, you know, as I was saying before, is the medium. If your audience is on Facebook, be on Facebook. But if your audience isn't on Snapchat, why are you there? You know, my audience is not on Instagram. I don't have an Instagram account, you know, because the people that I talk to are not looking for what I have to say on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn most of the time because that's where the majority of my clients hang out. And the discussion and the conversations that I have with them resonate with them on that platform. So it's a matter of understanding not only who your audience is, how to talk to them, but also what mediums do they use to be able to communicate.
awesome. This is going to spark a lot of curiosity. So I'm assuming you guys are jotting all this down and really thinking about it in terms of your own business. This is huge.
Yeah, and I'm happy to share the deck with Tyson as well. And, you know, everybody can have a copy of this afterwards. So happy to share it.
Awesome.
The key thing is what makes you unique? There might be 1,000 people that do what you do. There might be 1,000,000 people that do what you do. But nobody does it exactly the same way that you do. You know, there's lots of people out there that do leadership training. There's lots of people out there that do internal communication consulting. But there's no one who does it the same way that I do. And the more you can differentiate yourself, the more you can articulate what makes you unique within your particular field of study, the more people are going to pay attention. I work with these type of clients. This is the type of things that I do. Here are some stories of some ways that I've helped certain people in your industry be better. The more you can be specific and the more you can give them case studies or examples or, you know, some type of way that they can sit there and say, he's been down this path or she's been down this path before. And this is what differentiates them from their competition. The more people will pay attention. We are all unique. We are all different. We all look at things a little bit differently than somebody else does. We all approach problems in our own way. It's a matter of the better you understand that, the clearer you are in articulating that, the better off you are to be able to sit there and say, ah, this person, I trust them. I know that they're going to be able to do a good job. I know they're the right person for the matter. They're a little bit more expensive, but I don't care. And that's what makes being differentiating yourself and making sure you understand what makes you unique is all about. It's understanding your passions. It's understanding your skills and being able to find that dovetail, being able to find that where the circles meet. You know, what's the technical skills that I have? What is the passions that I have? What's the experience that have brought me to this place? And be able to bring those three things together and be able to sit there and say, this is the narrow thing that makes me unique because I have a little bit of this, a little bit of this, and a little bit of this. And by bringing those three different experiences together, that's what makes me better than somebody else in this particular case. Or this is what makes me different, or this is what makes me interesting. And the clearer we can articulate that, you know, getting people to understand, write it down, what are you passionate about? What are you technically good at? What are the experiences that have brought you to this place and time? And be able to sit there and find out where do they overlap? That's what makes you unique.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool. Reminds me of an exercise I did last night in terms of I wrote down a bunch of skills, a bunch of things that make me unique, a bunch of things that are, you know, certain traits of mine, and being creative with what I can combine to make my own field, right? So I have, my passion is growing this community, this Facebook group, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, what can I do to, you know, grow the most beneficial Facebook group on the platform? That's really, mm-hmm. That's really where my mind's going. And I'm like, what can I bring in of my own unique skills, my own unique, you know, capabilities, what makes me passionate, right? Everything you're talking about. And I'm trying to combine a lot of different skills and a lot of different, you know, pieces of creativity to see what makes me unique, you know, what makes me do what I do and how I do it and what makes, you know, what makes me being able to add so much more value to this community and, yeah, these are all really, really cool things to dive in deep on. And Kerry's got a really interesting question because yeah. She's got she basically teaches children how to play piano. So she's saying that the children aren't necessarily the clients, but she's targeting the parents of the students. So she says, any suggestions on how to talk to someone who is who's via the students? And Tim's also commented saying that Kerry, you might serve students but not your clients, the parents are. So where do the parents hang out? any sort of thing you can, any bits of advice you can give to Kerry there?
I think that, you know, taking it from a personal example of my son's piano teacher, my son ended up going to Yana because everybody else that was within our circle of friends raved about Yana. And she did a recital once a year. There was probably 50 to 60 students everywhere from age 5 to age 18, and was able to sit there and bring all the parents together and celebrate the event and make a big deal of it, to be able to bring everybody together and celebrate the accomplishment of all these kids. Because as much as you're trying to do this for the parents, and the parents are the ones that are you know, writing the check, if the kids don't feel like they're learning, if the kids are not enjoying it, if the kids are not passionate about it, they're going to give up. And that's going to frustrate the parents, and that's going to, you know, and they're going to sit there and say, why am I wasting my money? So as important as it is to get the parents on board, and they're the ones you write that write the checks, if the kids are not feeling like they're learning and they're not doing things that are important to them, you know, Yana let the kids pick a lot of their own music within a genre. You know, a lot of these kids didn't do, you know, the standard, you know, songs or the standard things. I mean, my son did Billy Joel and Elton John songs from the time he was 6 and 7 years old, because that's what he heard his parents singing. But it was a matter of sitting there going, how do we make this fun for the kids? Because if you make it fun for the kids will talk to one another, because they all go to school together, and they'll talk to their parents, and their parents will talk to the other parents. And they'll sit there going, look, the kids are learning. They're enjoying this. You know what? You gotta have your kids go. If you want to have piano lessons, oh, you got to go to Yana. You know, and that's how those communities are built. The communities are built on passion. You know, and what you're doing is you're inspiring youth. You know, you're not teaching piano, you're inspiring youth. And it's a matter of when you start thinking of things along those lines, what is the why behind what you do? Yes, you teach piano, but why do you teach piano? You know, what do you want to, you know, what do you want these kids to look like in 15 to 20 years? You know, what do you want the skills that you give them to be? Is it just fingers on a keyboard, or is there a greater set of skills that you want to teach these kids? And the more you can articulate that, the more passionate everybody's going to be, the more the kids are going to talk to their parents, the more the parents are going to talk to their friends, and the community will grow.
That's really cool. And another question that triggers in me is, that I'm always asking myself is, what feeling are you passing on to your clients, or passing on to these people? You're saying for Kerry, it's like inspired, like you're inspiring kids, you're inspiring this generation. And that's one thing I always asking, what you're selling is always a feeling, right? It's always a feeling. Yeah. It's always something that is, that's emotional to someone. And if you know what that is, if you can pass that on, that's something that I'm diving deep on as well, that I'm trying to get a lot of clarity around myself, because everyone that I'm coaching sort of comes around this aspect of, you know, of freedom, internal and external freedom. And so that freedom is sort of what I'm passing on. And obviously that's what I need to live myself. And that's what I've been doing by meditating 2 hours a day and doing all the internal work, is I'm starting to, you know, dive in deep and really do the work myself so that I can pass it on. And so it seems like with you, Kerry, as well, really understand what it is the emotion that you're passing on to your clients. What is the emotion and the feeling that you're selling? And we got some questions here from DJ as well. So we've got two questions. It says, do you recommend making an audio logo that describes your uniqueness and who, what, why you exist? If so, why not? So do you recommend doing an audio logo that describes this in detail?
The interesting thing is that the audio logo is something that's brand new in the marketplace. And you know, and to me, it's nothing more than an old age jingle. You know, it's the 30 second or less emotional trigger or audio trigger of who you are, what you do, and why you do it. And it all depends on who your audience is. You know, will people resonate with it? Will people, you know, will people engage with it? Will interact with it? I mean, take QR code. I was in a big conversation about QR codes the other day. You know, does anybody know what the QR codes, those square codes that are the digital things, you scan them and all of a sudden they'll bring up a website or they'll bring in up a call to action or whatever. If you're not familiar with what they are, if you have to download a QR code reader to be able to scan the QR code, to be able to understand what to do, you're never going to use it. If you're used to seeing or you understand what an audio logo is, you may engage with it. If you don't know what it is or why somebody is doing it, you know, it's, people won't engage with it. So it's a matter of understanding what do you do? And is this something that resonates with an audience you're doing? Or is this, you know, if you're in a technology industry where what you do is innovation, if your whole thing is innovation and it's cutting edge and it's being somebody that's always looking to the future, absolutely, an audio logo would be something that I would look at. You know, if your key clients are banks, why? You know, it's not something that people are going to be looking at. You know, it all depends on what is the perception you want your clients to have of you. And you create your logo based on that, whether it's an audio logo, whether it's a visual logo, whatever, or a video. And I'll show you one of my videos at the end of this presentation. It's creating a medium that is going to resonate with your particular audience and it's going to make sense to them. So have I created an audio logo? No. Do I think I'm going to in the next little while? Probably not. But that's just not the industry I'm in. It doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means it's not right for me.
So you also asked a key question as well. And I'm not sure if you're going to go into this in the next little bit of your slides, but he says, what are the top three things you would recommend to strengthen your story? He says, I asked this question because I am unique, living in Japan and learning from three Japanese senseis. However, cool. When I am in the selling process, I spend time sharing why it is valuable and how it translates to deliverables and outcomes. Any other insights would be greatly appreciated. I think a lot of people benefit from that as well. I'm not sure if you can talk about that, but
yeah,
you know, some tips in how to strengthen their story or anything that's going to help them pass on this, what they do, why they do it, where they're going, all these different ways in which you can add value, anything like that.
The number one thing I can say about how to strengthen a story is, first of all, keep telling it. You know, the more you tell your story, it's like working out. You know, it's like meditation. The more you do it, the better you're going to be at it. The other thing I tell people is your story has to change based on the audience. It doesn't change. You're not changing the story. You're just going to tell how you story. You tell the story, what examples you're going to use, what references you're going to use, what examples you're going to use based on the people that you're in front of. You know, I'm a big believer whenever I'm on stage, and I'm on stage a lot, I talk to the event organizer months ahead of the time that I'm going to be on stage. I want to know who's going to be in the audience. I want to know who the crowd is. I want to know what the objectives are. I want to know what do they want these people to walk away with? What does a win look like for them? And I augment my keynotes accordingly, or my workshops accordingly, to be able to make sure that they resonate specifically with the people that are going to be in the room. So I'm going to talk to engineers far differently than I'm going to talk to graphic designers. You know, I'm going to talk to, you know, bus drivers far differently than I'm going to talk to a group of CEOs, and I'm going to talk to CFOs far differently than I am the CEOs. You know, they want different things. They want different information. They want things given to them at a different level. So the more you can tell your story in a way that you understand the person first and what their points of reference are, then the better off you are. So before you launch into your story, and the more you know, sit there and tell everybody your story, the more you can ask questions and find out a little bit about them first. You know, what are they passionate about? What are the challenges that they're having? What is the number one issue you're having at work right now? You know, what are some of the challenges you're having with staff? What are the type of things, you know, that are keeping you from succeeding right now? And the way they answer that question will guide you of how you tell your brand story to make sure it resonates with them.
So it's really doing your market research and understanding more about who you're talking to, because how you tell your journey and what pieces of your journey you want to enhance or you want to highlight are going to be determined by what resonates with them and what they're going through and what they think is going to help them get from A to B.
Exactly, because you're fighting their own biases. You know, you're fighting the bias of your audience. They're coming to the table with their own set of problems, their own set of needs, wants, and desires. They're coming to the table thinking that you're going to be able to help them in a certain way, or else they would never take the meeting, unless you're just meeting, you know, for the first time in a networking situation. But if you're in a meeting with somebody or somebody walks in your door, they're walking in with some type of issue that they need to have solved. And until you can understand what their problem is, you can't help them solve it. And until you can relate to them at their level, they're not going to listen to what you have to say.
And I'll just add in there, one thing that's coming up for me is to highlight that when you're telling a story, although you can adjust, and you can speak to this as well, Ben, when you're adjusting sure. it and listening to your audience, it also needs to come from a place of authenticity.
Absolutely.
Is that what you would say as well? Because I know when someone's telling a story, like I can tell many different aspects of my story in terms of when I started coaching, when I got my first client, when I jumped online, when I left my job, all these different things, you know, when I, you know, made my first 10 grand a month, I don't know, whatever it may be, I can add aspects of that depending on who I'm talking to. But as long as it's still coming from a place of authenticity, people will be able to feel it. If I'm trying to adjust to them to sort of sell them or manipulate in some way, and I'm sort of exaggerating on parts, like people can feel when you're being really, really salesy for a particular, to have them convinced rather than you just expressing because you love expressing it with passion and what you believe in and everything we talked about before. Would you agree, or do you have anything?
Oh yeah, and that's why I'm saying it has to be your story. You have to be authentic. You know, you're not stretching the truth. You're not, you know, fabricating. You're not doing anything. You're telling your story, but you're telling the story in using examples that resonate with them. It has to be authentic. If you're not authentically you, you know, I can't be Gary Vaynerchuk. I can't be Richard Branson. I can't even be Tyson. You know, I can only be me.
You wish.
It's true. I wish I was you, you know. I wish it was a lot warmer. I wish I was down in your neck of the woods. Right. But, you know, all I can be is me, my good, my bad, and my ugly. You know, we all have good parts of us. We all have bad parts of us. And we all have parts of us. We sit there going, yeah, all right, we'll keep that under wraps. But we are who we are. And we believe what we believe. And we do what we do. And we have to embrace it. We have to embrace our whole thing and talk from a position of truth. This is this is what we do, and this is how we do it, and this is how we can help. Because there's nothing worse than spinning a story about what you think you can do. They say okay, and they expect you to be able to do something that you don't have a clue how to do. You may get the job once, but you'll never see that person ever again.
Hopefully this is resonating, guys. Hopefully this is getting your creativity flowing and plenty of things are written down, because this is it's a game changer to be able to share your business in this manner rather than thinking how much you can just get a message right. It's actually telling a story. One thing that comes up for me is that might help a lot of people here is, how long should a story be, right? What aspects of a story do you tell, and when do you tell it? How long, not only how long does it need to be, but, you know, what specifically should it be in a particular order? Like what are some details there you can help people with?
I'm a big believer of, if you're just first meeting somebody, it's, you know, and it comes up, what do you do? It's not, I'm a lawyer, a doctor, a chiropractor, a marketing person, whatever. It's, I help people do this. I help people engage, retain, and grow their employees to be able to mitigate high turnover rates and build better leaders. That's what I do. Then somebody can say, well, what do you mean by that? Or how do you do that? You know, and allow it, that gives you permission to go into greater detail. On the other hand, if somebody goes, oh, that's interesting, excuse me, I gotta go get another drink, you realize they're not interested. And that's okay too. So it's a matter of being able to sit there and say, here's a quick synopsis. Here's a light up at the end of the tunnel of how I help people, and this is who I help them. You know, this is who I help, and this is how I help them. This is my why. And from there, people will either give you permission or they won't give you permission to move your story forward. And then it comes down to the conversation of how does the conversation go? And there's no right way to tell the story, no wrong way to tell the story. You know, a lot of people like the story. This is where we came from. This is where we are. This is who we help. And this is where we're going. You know, and that conversation can be 60 seconds. It can be 30 seconds. It can also be an hour. Depending on how the conversation goes.
Totally.
And you can, and how many questions they ask.
One thing that I picked up from my business coach is that you can have different lengths of story.
Yes.
But you can always weave it in your conversations, in your content, and everything like that. Similar to how, you know, I've weaved pieces of my story in here just because I have a good aspect to, I have a need to share. It's my story, it's my vulnerability, it's my authentic place. And Kerry's asking a really key question, because she's saying that her story actually comes from a place of abuse. So what she's asking here is, how much do you tell in terms of, if you do have a story that is a bit more dark, that is a bit more you know, sinister or whatever it may be, but if that's a part of the reason why you're doing it, how much do you share and when do you share it? Is there anything you want to sort of talk to on that?
I think that comes down to you and your comfort level of sharing. It truly does. Here's for a perfect example. I was in a car accident 7 years ago. I was hit from behind and it turned out to be a brain injury. And that brain injury will actually be with me the rest of my life. Now, that's far more than I've told a lot of people, and that's far less than I've told certain people. And it really depends where, you know, who the audience is and what, you know, what the audience needs to know. You know, the question is, if what you do and how you serve other people comes from the fact of, because I was abused, this is why I do what I do. You can just say, you know what, I was a victim of abuse as a child. This is what I learned from it, and this is how I can help, and leave it from there. You know, you don't need to go into the intimate details unless you decide you want to go into the intimate details.
Yeah.
And if somebody asks you for details, it's up to you to decide how much you want to tell them and how much you don't want to tell them. That's your right. You know, you don't have to give everybody all the information all the time. You build your story at different levels to be able to tell different people based on the level of trust and the different level of they need to know. You know, it's a matter of, how does this person resonate with you? Why are you telling them this detail? Is there a reason that you're telling them this story in this much detail, because it's going to help them move forward in their life? Then maybe you tell that story. To me, that you met, you know, just met on the street, you may say, I was a victim of child abuse, and that's it. You know, if you go that far. And that's up to you. You need to decide how much of that story becomes part of your brand and how much detail you go into based on, does it help other people move forward by knowing your story in more detail? Mm-hmm. And are you comfortable telling that story?
And that'll help a lot of people, because most people on here are growing their business online, they're on social media, and they're doing a lot of content. They're doing a lot of written posts or blogs or articles, or they're being interviewed, or they're doing whatever it may be, putting their brand, their message out there. And so you can strategically think about, what can I put in here? What's going to serve them? Is it going to be a longer message? When I'm on the transformational group coaching calls that we have every week, I open up there and I have the space of an hour to just share something vulnerable, share something about myself, share something that all the sadness that came up in meditation, for example, around past relationships, I would explain how all this is coming up and just be open and vulnerable about it. I wouldn't necessarily put that in a post that's, you know, three sentences long. You know, you're going to think about, how is this serving someone? How is this being of value? And like Ben sharing a lot of his wisdom here, he's not going to put all of this in a blog, right? Or all of this in a particular part of, a post. But there's many, many different things in which you can put in there that can do that. And a lot of people are scared to share aspects of their story. This is where I come into it. This is where I love helping people share their vulnerability and share their openness and their darkness, especially with themselves, right? I think you need to experience it with yourself first and really, you know, shine some light on those dark aspects of your story or your personality and come to grips with yourself, because then you can be able to tell it from a place of empowerment, a place of vulnerability and openness. That's really, really, really cool. So, awesome to hear. What else do you have?
And just with that, you also need to be comfortable with the fact that once you say it, especially when you say it on social media, it's there forever.
Yeah, totally.
It's there forever. And you have to sit there and say, okay, am I comfortable enough saying this? You know, would I say this to my grandmother? That's the litmus test that I've given my 16-year-old son. Would you say this face-to-face to your grandmother? And if you wouldn't, why are you putting this on social media? And, you know, and because grandma may see it on social media. And somebody that you didn't ever expect to see it on social media might see it on social media. So you need to decide what you're going to share where, and be cognizant of it, and be cognizant that social media, you know, there's 99.9% really good people on social media that are doing really good things and are into sharing and collaborating and trusted and are trustworthy people. Unfortunately, there's that 0.1% of people that are trolls that unfortunately, you know, they feel better when they make other people feel worse. And that's reality. And we need to be cognizant of that. And it doesn't mean that you don't do it. You just need to be cognizant of the reality is that once it's out there, it's out there. And you need to be comfortable enough in your own skin to be able to sit there and say, yeah, that's okay.
That's cool.
And that's a personal choice.
Totally. Like you said before, it's your right to share your story. It's your right to determine what parts of your story you tell.
Exactly.
That's really cool. And so I know I'm conscious of time, and we've hit the hour mark. So a lot of people need to jump off and will need to get on with their day.
So let me just bring this to the very end. And what I'll do is I'll share this with Tyson so he can everybody can have the PowerPoint. There's two different things. One, my podcast is called the Your Living Brand Live Show. You know, if you've got a unique story to tell, go to yourlivingbrand.live. You know, listen to a few podcasts. If you think that you got a unique story to tell and there's a way to do it, I'm always looking for great guests. You know, happy to do it. There's a way to register there. You know, do that. Connect with me on Facebook. LinkedIn is better because I'm usually on LinkedIn at yourbrandmarketing.com. But there's a free course that I have online right now called Know, Like, Trust. And if you go to courses.yourbrandmarketing.com, you'll be able to find it. So go to courses@yourbrandmarketing.com and you'll be able to find the complimentary course called Know, Like, and Trust.
Awesome. So what we can do is normally at the end of the presentation, I put a post in the group. So it'll really help me and Ben as well to get to know what your biggest takeaways are. And that way, when you comment, not only can we see who was on this live, but you can also see, we can also get the conversation going here. And Ben can reach out to you. You can reach out to Ben. You can keep the conversation going in terms of different, you know, different topics, different ideas around your story, different questions you might have. So I'll post that now. I'll post in the group, and you'll be able to see that post. And you can just simply just comment what your biggest takeaway was, and then we keep the conversation going with different questions, different ideas. If you want to jump on his podcast and share your story as well, and also he's got many, many resources, many tools as well that he can share with you if you really want to dive in deep and get this this aspect of your business nailed down, so that you can start telling your story and weaving into your content and engaging in your audience in a different manner. It's been a game changer for me to learn this sort of stuff, and it's been a game changer for my coaching and everything like that. So I love this topic, and it's always always cool to hear from experts like Ben. But that's really cool. So I posted in the group. It looks like this.
Perfect.
Make sure you jump on and make sure you can add some comments there, and just let us know what your biggest takeaway was, and I'll be on there as well engaging. So Ben, you're a champion. Is there anything else you want to add, anything, any lasting comments that you want to leave us with?
Yeah, I mean, the last comment I'm going to make is your story is your own. Make it your story. You know, make sure that it's authentically you. Make sure that it resonates with you and that it tells the story of who you are, where you've been, where you're going, and why you add value. You know, it's all about, you know, creating a story that's authentic, something that you're proud to tell, something that you don't need notes, something that you don't need a PowerPoint presentation for. You can just stand up and tell the story to anybody in any way, shape, or form. And I think that when you can do that, that's when the story becomes magic, and that's when people are going to resonate more with your brand.
That's awesome. That's so cool. And so thank you so much, Ben. Let's keep this conversation going in the group. I've put the post up there, and you guys can add Ben, especially on LinkedIn. That's where he is. That's where I met him. And yeah, definitely reach out for any additional advice or brainstorming activities. It's a wealth of knowledge. So thanks so much, Ben. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Tyson.
Awesome, guys. I'll see you in the group. I'll see you in 2 days for the group coaching call as well. Many, many cool things on the horizon. So I'll keep you guys posted. Cheers. Thanks for your participation.